The Lord be with you.
Good
morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity. We're happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The order of service is printed out before you this morning, Divine Service Setting 3. The hymns are found in your hymnal for this morning's service as well. We pray the Lord's blessings as he comes to us with his word and his grace. Let us begin as we stand and sing hymn 907. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who was born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. From the Old Testament reading this morning, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Isaiah says, Here I am, send me, send me. We like that passage from Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah is volunteering to go. A favorite verse for evangelism, a favorite verse for churches to get excited about firing up the people to go out and spread the good news of Jesus. A perfect example of a text used often for pastors at ordinations and installations. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? He says. We like that. Isaiah says, I will go. Here am I. Send me, send me. But that's where it cuts off. Continue reading Isaiah chapter 6, and then it gets kind of confusing. The message of our Lord given to Isaiah in his lips isn't exactly the most fired up evangelistic type of message. Listen to what he says. And the Lord said, Go and say to this people, Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and their blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Great! Let's go out! Let's go out with that wonderful message of blinding eyes and stopping up ears. Let's go out with that wonderful message that says, literally, we do not want them to turn and be healed. God makes it pretty clear the goal of Isaiah's message. It's the opposite of what we think evangelism should be. Don't let them perceive what they see. Don't let them understand what they hear. Dull their hearts so they don't get who I am as God, declares the Lord, lest they turn, lest they repent, and lest they believe. This doesn't seem right. That's not what Jesus would want, right? We like Jesus because he's in the New Testament. None of this Old Testament stuff. Except when Jesus turns around in Matthew chapter 13 and quotes the same passages from Isaiah 6. He responded with this when his disciples asked him why he spoke in parables. This is why God has Isaiah say to the people, "Keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and they're blind their eyes." This is why Jesus speaks throughout the New Testament in parables, so that we don't think with our own eyes that we are saved. That by our own perception somehow that we think we can earn forgiveness by what we do. That by our own understanding and comprehension, we can somehow reach out and grasp hold of who Almighty God is. Today is Trinity Sunday. It's one of those Sundays where we celebrate the fact that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And throughout the ages, people as Christians have tried to define and understand who the Trinity truly is. There's been everything from great debates and councils written over this down to children's books about apples trying to explain who the Trinity is. We can't understand it. It's a mystery. It is meant to be believed and confessed with our mouths. According to my ears and my eyes and my perceptions, the Trinity does not make sense. But in many ways, when God's word is spoken to me and to you by my own eyes, by my own ears, and my own perceptions, I see who I am standing before God as a wretched, sinful human being. When I truly see the realities of who God is and how he is holy, blameless, and righteous, I stand before him as I should, as should all of us, and say, "Woe to me, I am ruined." And yet, despite all the magnificent beauty and mystery of God being the Holy Trinity, he still desires to come to us this day with his word, with the wonderful message of his love for the entire world. That's what you heard in John chapter 3, the wonderful gospel in a nutshell, that God loved the entire world, not just limited to Christians, but the entire world. In this way, he loved the entire world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the one who has come to unstop our ears and to open our blind eyes and to show us the realities of who God truly is in the flesh, walking, eating, sleeping, drinking, bleeding, and dying for you, his wonderful creation. His eyes are all faced on you, his beloved treasure, his pearl of great price, you who he has given up everything for, you who he has given up everything for in this entire world, so that others may continue to hear through sinful, wretched pastors who say in quite great fear, "Here am I, send me. I guess I will go." But we do not go on our own. The church does not go on its own as well. As we heard last week, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And yet even today, we see that before Isaiah goes out, he is cleansed of his impure mouth. God takes a fiery coal from his altar and seals Isaiah's mouth clean so that he may go out. He is a man of unclean lips. Before Almighty God, he is ruined, but nonetheless, he has been cleansed by that fiery coal, purged of sin and guilt, to go out and to speak the wonderful news to the Israelites, to the world as we find today. And yet today, as it is as well, our unclean lips today sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Our unclean lips sing from the midst of people, a world of unclean lips, all in preparation before this, the altar of God. on which we find the body and blood of the one crucified and resurrected and baptized in fire for us. We come to this altar today to have our lips touched with Jesus, to have our guilt taken away, our sin atoned for. The ancient Christians often talk about the Eucharist and mention that Jesus is the fiery coal from Isaiah 6. Listen to Cyril of Alexandria in the 400s of what he says. He says, clearly this is a picture of Christ, who on our behalf offered himself up to God the Father as a pure and unblemished sacrifice. Let God then be on our lips like a glowing coal that burns away the rubbish of our sins, purges the filth of our unrighteousness, and sets us on fire with his Holy Spirit. That is the wonderful thing about what happens in this place today. That is the wonderful thing that's going to happen in a few moments, where you hear in the service, therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth, that is heavenly armies. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is visiting you, his people, today. And if it was the realities of what Isaiah sees, or if it's the reality of what John sees in the book of Revelation, we would fall down dead, we would fall down and say, woe is me. But he veils himself for you today by revealing himself in his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness for you. Isaiah says in today's text, that's exactly what happens for us in the Lord's table. No matter how glorious or unglorious it seems, by God's word, through this wonderful gift, forgiveness of sins is earned and given and shed for you, and it is placed on your lips. Jesus' own body and blood given for you. And we still sing with the wonderful angels and all the company of those who've gone on before us, holy, holy, holy. God is present, as we sang in our opening hymn. He is the one who comes from us from the outside, giving you all of himself, forgiving and loving you, and giving you the faith to be strengthened throughout this world. The Lord's Supper is quite possibly the most exciting thing in all of our existence as human beings. And if not for God dulling our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, one of the most terrifying things as well, because it is the real presence of God in your midst today. Because as we sing, holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, there the heavens themselves shake clear down to the lower rafters of this place. There the smoke billows forth. There the train of the Lord Almighty fills the temple. There the seraphim fly around. And as Luther says, they cover their eyes because they are not worthy enough to see God. But here on this altar for you today is the live coal, the sacrificed Christ, who is put on your lips, not telling you to try to figure out who the Trinity is, not telling you to try to get in line, but to call you to his table, to feed you his hungry and thirsty children with himself, to promise you peace, peace that passes all of our understanding, peace that guards your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Here is heaven meeting earth today in your midst. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we do laud and magnify his glorious name, evermore praising him and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of heavenly armies. The whole earth is full of his glory. Grace Lutheran Church is full of his glory this day. Let that song and our Lord himself always be on our lips, for he delivers his forgiveness, his salvation, and his life to you this day and every day that we gather around his gracious gifts. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our offerings to the Lord.